From NPR News in Washington, I'm Korva Coleman. Three explosions rocked parts of the Iraqi capital this morning. The apparent targets were the Iranian embassy in central Baghdad and another area where several foreign embassies are housed. At least 30 people were killed and 224 people were wounded. NPR's Jonathan Blakely went to the Iranian embassy and reports the explosion there was powerful enough to crumble concrete blast walls.
Rescue workers pulled bodies from the rubble at the main gate of the embassy, where cars parked near the blast were reduced to unrecognizable pieces of twisted metal. The blast walls protected the embassy itself, but anyone or anything near the powerful explosion didn't stand a chance. It's difficult to say what the intent of these bombings are, but they come at a tenuous time in Iraq. The leading parliamentary blocs after last month's close parliamentary elections are trying to form a government, a process that could take weeks, if not months. There's concern that insurgents could take advantage of this period to launch destabilizing attacks. But at the Iranian embassy, Iraq's civil defense head said there is no political vacuum in the country. He vowed that terrorists cannot win and life must go on. Jonathan Blakely, NPR News, Baghdad.
Pope Benedict has delivered his main Easter greeting at the Vatican, calling for peace and harmony. Benedict did not mention the Catholic clergy sexual abuse scandal. Critics allege the Pope and the Vatican have hidden reports from around the world of sexual abuse by priests against children. Vatican officials are defending the Pope today. A senior cardinal said Benedict has shown leadership and courage. Hundreds of Egyptian workers and their supporters demonstrated in Cairo this weekend for a raise in the minimum wage. It's remained unchanged for the past 26 years. NPR's Peter Kenyon reports from the Egyptian capital.
The demonstration outside political offices in downtown Cairo was peaceful and not especially large, but political analysts say it may be a sign that labor unions are attempting to emerge as a force in the run-up to parliamentary elections this year and presidential balloting next year. An Egyptian court has ruled that the government must take rising consumer prices into account when setting the minimum wage, but the court did not set a fixed amount. The wage has been approximately $7 a month since 1984. The protesters called for a large raise to over $200 a month. 2 years ago, labor activists won significant concessions for rural textile workers and others, but an attempt to revive the labor movement with a general strike last spring failed in the face of heavy security measures by the government. Peter Kenyon, NPR News, Cairo.
A white supremacist leader in South Africa has been murdered. Eugene Terreblanche was killed allegedly at the hands of two farm workers angry over wages. South African President Jacob Zuma has condemned the murder and emphasized it should not trigger racial acts of hatred. This is NPR. The men's NCAA basketball championship game is set. Duke defeated West Virginia in one semifinal game yesterday. Now the Duke Blue Devils will face the winner of the other semifinal game, Butler, who defeated Michigan State. Greg Eklund reports the Butler-Duke game will be held in Butler's hometown, Indianapolis.
When Duke won the first of its three national championships under Coach Mike Krzyzewski in 1991, it was accomplished in Indianapolis. If the Blue Devils were to repeat its history in Indianapolis, it won't be as well received by the local fans. Though Butler is vying for its first national title, Krzyzewski doesn't subscribe to the idea of the Bulldogs being a Cinderella team.
They're an outstanding basketball team who, because Butler hasn't been to the Final Four, creates that Cinderella thing. But they're one of the best teams in the country, or else they wouldn't be playing in the national championship.
Butler has won 25 in a row and is 33-4 this season. Duke, with a 34-5 record, led by as many as 21 points in the second half against West Virginia. For NPR News, I'm Greg Eklund in Indianapolis.
The Patuxent River is slowly easing back into its banks in Rhode Island. The National Weather Service says the Patuxent will drop below flood stage later today. Heavy rain throughout the Northeast last week and earlier in March triggered a lot of flooding in the region, but Rhode Island got the worst of it, almost the worst in two centuries. Neighborhoods are underwater, and the state's labor agency says several thousand people are out of work temporarily. Rhode Island already has a high unemployment rate. State officials are asking the federal government for help. I'm Korva Coleman, NPR News.